Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, verse number 1. And I'm going to read something to you here, and then we're going to go to a verse or a chapter that I teach very often in the e-course, but I feel I have to teach this evening. Not trying to... trying not to give too much away, amen, before the e-course, but I feel I need to show you something this evening. The first thing I want to say is this, is that, you know, there is no perfect church. If you're looking for the perfect church, go somewhere else, because you're not going to find it here, amen? We are all imperfect. We are all doing our best to serve God with all of our hearts. Just when you think you're doing really great, you figure out that you're doing really badly. Amen. But God is faithful, like I said this morning. God is faithful all the time. But as a church, we have a mission. We have a vision. That vision is to encounter the city. That vision is to change lives. That vision is to love Jesus with all of our hearts. Amen. That's just a small piece. Come to a welcome celebration and you'll hear all about it. But our mission, our vision, should be something that is shared by everyone that's here. Everyone that's a part of this church or any church should share in the vision and the heart of that church to do whatever that church is called to do. And I just love church so much, and I love it when there's new people because I just love to see where they come from and their story and what God has done and what's inside them. It's just so awesome to see. Not that I don't love the old people, but it's just so wonderful when God brings more people and you see the diversity and what God has done. And everybody has a story. And I've been teaching over the last few weeks how our environment affects us. So it is that our church environment and the way we've been brought up in church will also have an influence on the way that you think, on the way that you perceive things. Tonight I want to show you something out of Scripture that I think every one of us needs to grasp so desperately in order for us, I'm going to say this, to take the harvest. For there are many laborers, there are not actually enough laborers. The harvest is ready, but there are not enough laborers. What does that mean? That means there's not enough that are going to go out and be serious about changing lives. Now watch this, okay? Look at this evening, because we've been talking about so many things the last few weeks, and I think it all, boom, will come into some kind of alignment tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, verse number 1. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Now, if you know who's sharing this scripture, you will begin to understand that the person sharing the scripture is someone that loves to speak in tongues. And I'll prove it to you tonight. He loves to speak in tongues. But he says this, he says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Does that mean the gift isn't there? No, it's there. But it's making a noise. And it's of no effect. Perhaps if he has no love in his heart, but he makes a noise, a sound, speaks in tongues, perhaps he is edified. But no one else is edified. Why is this important? I'm so glad you're asking so many questions this evening. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, and listen, if you think that which is perfect has come, come on. That which is perfect has not come. Because if that which was perfect has come, you would not sin anymore. That which is perfect has not yet come. We have not fulfilled this scripture. Because Paul goes on and teaches us about the gifts of the Spirit right after this. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Now watch. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face, now I know in part. But then I shall know just as I am known. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Wow, he has just set us up for one of the greatest teachings done that's given to the church to show us how to conduct a service. And what he says in the scripture is he talks about gifts. He talks about what you have. He talks about gifts. He talks about gifts of the Spirit. He talks about prophecy. He talks about tongues. He talks about faith. He talks about all this stuff. And he continues to say, what does it profit unless there is love? And he says all of that to say this, that when you were a child, you spoke like a child. You acted like a child. But now, if you are one that has been given these gifts, that has been given the opportunity to learn and grow in the things of God, surely now you will not act like a child anymore. And desire everything to be your way. As a child does. Listen, if my two-year-old brother, he is so cute. I promise you. Daddy, I don't love you. But I do love you. And he's got this little hard head. But you can't convince a two-year-old. But I try. Amen. So I see this behavior in a child that's normal. And I'll try and lead him the right way as much as I can as he begins to grow. And Paul is saying to us, listen, you've got these gifts. They're good. But the reason you have them is because of love. And he sets it up with what we're about to go into right now. Watch this. Are you all okay this evening in this place? This was not what I planned to preach on this evening, okay? Now, he finishes off by saying, and now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. And he starts verse chapter 14 by saying this, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. The word gifts there is an italicized word. And if you've heard this preacher, if you've heard me preach this before, you need to hear it again. Amen. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. The word gifts is italicized, which means it was added in by the writers as they read and interpret the text. So the word gifts makes sense to put there because it's the context of the text. And in part it is. But what Paul is truly trying to say is, I want you as believers who are growing in your faith becoming stronger and stronger and stronger, to desire to be spiritual. I want you to desire to be a spiritual being, to operate in the spirit, to operate with the things that God has given you, the gifts, the talents, the purposes, the plans, everything that you have. He wants you to desire those things. And then he says this, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, I don't want to go too much into all of this because I can break this down and I will in a few weeks. But he says, especially that you may prophesy. And in part of the reason why is because prophecy is so powerful. And look at what he says, next verse. For he who speaks in a tongue, now he brings tongues back into it. First he says that I want you to have love. He says, you know, if I speak in tongues of men and angels, what does it profit me unless I have love? Now he says, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And then he goes on and says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. Now understand the context of the text. He's teaching us about a church service. Are you with me? He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. But I love this word. However, everybody say however. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. The word mysteries is the word mysterion in the Greek, which means the secret things, the hidden things, the purposes, the plans of God for your life. So when you speak in tongues, you're doing something powerful. But he's saying, I want you to prophesy even more than that, because the truth is that prophecy in a service has more value. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. In other words, you're praying when you speak in tongues in church, you're praying and speaking really great. Let's go on. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Why is he saying this? He's saying it because when someone prophesies, the church is benefiting. When he speaks in tongues, there's only one person benefiting, and that's him himself. So he's saying, I want you to speak in tongues, but I want you to prophesy more, because prophecy is more beneficial to who? To the body. Now watch. He says, just hang on, before we move on. Okay, no, let's not. Just go on, next verse. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Oh. So tongues primarily will be for you. When you pray in tongues, oh, some people get so upset when we talk about tongues. It's not that bad, really. It's actually quite wonderful. Amen. Okay, and I'll teach you this evening. Amen. Come to E1. Amen. You're going to learn all about it. I'm going to go really into it then. But I have to show you this tonight because it's so important. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. When a prophecy goes over one person, everyone gets affected. The atmosphere changes. Faith goes up in the room. You don't understand how I can just say to someone, God is going to move powerfully in your life, and the atmosphere changes, and it's so much easier to preach. Because the whole church gets edified, and faith comes in the room, and it's just so powerful. Amen. He who prophesies edifies the church. Next verse. Why the back and forth? I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues. Why? Because when you speak in tongues, it's for yourself. When you prophesy, it's over others. You've moved from one dimension to another dimension. You've moved from faith to faith. Faith praying in tongues, edifying myself, the secrets, the mysteries of God. Now when I prophesy, I'm now moving beyond myself and I'm actually edifying the church. Remember what he said in the beginning. Doesn't help I have all the gifts. Doesn't help even I can prophesy unless I have love. So the purpose must be in a church service. The purpose must be the body. The purpose must be the people. They must have an encounter with God. Their hearts need to change. You need to do everything in this place, if you're a mature believer, to help the person that's come in here that maybe hasn't got the experience or understanding that you do, that there's more. There's more for you. There's so much more for you. And it's so powerful. And it's so wonderful. And it's so awesome. But don't freak them out. I know you have gifts. But Joe Soap from down the road, who's never been exposed to the things of the Spirit, will walk in here and you going to town with your gift, he doesn't understand it. But let's move on. I wish you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. So when we speak in tongues, in a church service, out of order, let me say that again, out of order, when that happens, how will it be beneficial to speak in tongues? It will be beneficial if there's interpretation so that the body can be edified. Does that mean that the person speaking in tongues is bad or evil? No. What did they do? They edified themselves. Doesn't necessarily mean they're bad or that they've done anything wrong, but they've missed the point. The point is that there needs to be edification for the body. When I'm in my room at home, you should see me. I pray in tongues like a madman. Why? Because I know the power of what takes place when I pray in tongues. I'll teach you that in just a minute if you stick around. Amen. So when I speak in tongues or when I do anything, I'm going to say that again so everybody hears me and understands. When I do anything in a service, anything, it must benefit the body. Let me go over to this side. You heard me, amen? When I do anything, if I speak in tongues, if I prophesy, if I do anything in a service, if I desire to be used in a service, the benefit of that must be to benefit the body of Christ. Yes. Not the me show. Yes. Okay. We'll wait for a minute for the parent to see their tag number and then we will go on. All right, I cannot read that. Amen. All right, put it on the back for me, please. Because I feel not led to go up there to my notes, scriptures. Amen. Well, thouest in the backeth, please put it, the scripture on the screen. Thank you. For he who prophesies is greater than he speaks in tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. The purpose of any gift being operated in a church is purely there for edification. Doesn't matter what gift it is. Next verse. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? So in other words, yeah, he's saying that every gift that gets used, whether it's tongues, whether it's prophecy, whatever it is, there must be purpose to it. There must be edification. Okay? I don't want to go too much into this because I'm going to be teaching on it shortly. Next verse. Even things without life, whether flute. Now watch, because he's basically giving an example of a musical instrument to teach you exactly what I've just said. Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sound, how will it be known what is piped or played? It doesn't make any sense if an instrument, and if we're all busy going with instruments in one direction, and if an instrument is out of order, if an instrument busy plays and it's doing its own thing, unless there's a purpose to that instrument actually doing it, what benefit will it be? It'll just sound really weird, right? Next verse. For if a trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? It needs to make the right sound. Otherwise, we won't know where we're going. Every gift must be in line for one purpose, to edify the body of Christ. Amen. Next verse. So likewise you, unless you utter the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking in the air. When you speak in tongues, you don't speak loud, you speak in the air. Amen. Next verse. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Next verse. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Now he's comparing it to normal languages, and he's saying, what benefit will there be if I speak in a foreign... If I come up here and speak Chinese to you, it's going to be just that. It's going to be Chinese. But unless I come up here and speak in a language that you can understand, you will not be able to understand it unless you have some form of gift of interpretation. Next verse. Even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, watch this now, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Pastor, I want to do this in your church. Why? Is it going to edify the body? If it edifies the body, then yes. If it doesn't edify the body, then no. Amen. So, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to use your gift. There are certain things that I do when I'm at home that I just simply cannot do here. Is that okay? Next verse. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret for the purpose of edifying the body, in that an example of someone stepping out. Next verse. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. So now he's even saying that when we pray in tongues, even you don't understand it. Next verse. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. So he's actually saying here that speaking in tongues, praying in tongues is not bad in a service, but make sure that it's done in order. Next verse. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen? And here's my point. You need to understand that from the very beginning of verse of chapter number 13, Paul is trying to say something to us. Your gift is beautiful, and I understand that. I may even absolutely love your gift. But that's not the point. It doesn't matter what I think. What's important is we need to understand what happens when someone who doesn't quite understand comes into a place and they don't understand these things. If it's out of order or just sort of chaotic, they will not get it. However, when we operate with the gifts and there's order, something changes in the atmosphere. Something shifts in the atmosphere. Watch. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? Now watch this. Next verse. For you indeed give thanks well, but the others is not edified. See, so it's not that you're doing anything wrong, but what you don't understand is the motive must be love. If the motive is real love, you will understand that perhaps what you're trying to do is not actually edifying anybody else but yourself. And again, this is not an attack on you because we all have different gifts. Are you with me, guys? Is this okay? It's important. Is that okay? Next verse. I thank my God. Love this verse. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. So he's just taught us about tongues. He's just taught us about order. And then he makes this incredible statement where he says, I thank God, I speak in tongues more than you all. Why is he saying that? Because he wants you to understand that speaking in tongues is good and for you. The guy that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament makes a statement like this. We better pay attention. What is the date? May 11th. Something like that. Come to the second e-course. I'm going to elaborate on all of this really heavily. We'll talk about tongues and the gifts of the Spirit and all that stuff. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Next verse. Yet in a church I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in tongues. Why? Because it doesn't benefit anybody except me. I'm benefiting and it's great and I might be having a real awesome encounter with God. But I can also do that in a church service and not disrupt everybody around me. You may not know this, but when I'm in the front chair, I don't think I say 2 words in English. But everybody doesn't need to know about it. Because when I speak in a tongue, I speak to God and not to man. For no one understands me. However, I'm in the Spirit. And we're having divine communication. He's speaking to my spirit and I'm speaking to him. And then I know what to do. Like I changed my sermon right here this evening. And it happened while I was praying in tongues. Busy praying in my spirit. And God said, I want you to teach on this tonight. I need you to release this. But I didn't, when I felt this unction come on me, I didn't get on my chair and start shouting in tongues so that you all know that I got a revelation. Amen. You wouldn't have been edified. You're being edified now. You're being taught now. So the purpose of what I received was actually good. Amen. Okay. All right. I think you're with me. Yet in a church, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Next verse. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice, be babes. But in understanding, be mature. Listen, he's saying to you here, listen to me. Handle this like an adult. Don't get offended by what I'm teaching you this evening. Don't be offended by this. I know you have gifts. I know you have beautiful gifts. I know you have wonderful gifts. But listen, if there is no love in you, if you don't worry about these people that walk in here that don't understand this stuff yet, you are missing the point. Be mature. Be mature. Next verse. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and of other lips, I will speak to these people. And yet for all of that, they will not hear me, says the Lord. He quotes Isaiah, which is so powerful. And he's basically speaking about tongues when he quotes this. And he's basically saying this, that I knew the church would reject tongues. With men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to this people. And yet for all of that, they will not hear me. Says the Lord. Next verse. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. Therefore, tongues are for a sign. Not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. And you're going to understand in just a moment, when someone is in a church service, and it's an orderly service, and yes, they hear tongues, but it's not out of order. We're worshiping. And I'm praying in the spirits, and the person next to me is not a believer. And he looks over at me and he thinks, yes, this guy's a little bit strange, eh? Watch this. Therefore, the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there comes in those of the uninformed or unbelievers. Will they not say that you are out of your mind? One thing I've come to know is that when it comes to a church that is flowing in the Spirit, attempting to do things according to the Word, only the religious get upset. And religious comes in many forms. Only the religious get upset. The unbelievers don't get upset. What they do is exactly what that scripture says. It says that they will think that you are a little bit... The believer already understands tongues, or should understand tongues. Next verse. But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all. When someone walks into a service and the presence of God is busy moving, and we are doing what he says, to the best of our ability, we're never going to get it right. We're going to do the best we can. Amen? But if we do that, if we follow his instruction and attempt to be sensitive to everyone but never limit God, so that we can see God at the most beautiful expression in so many different ways, what will happen is they will come into the service. The gifts will be operating. God will be moving. They will think you're a little crazy, but their hearts will be affected. Their hearts will be touched and changed. It's amazing how people just know it's real when it's real. They question, they don't really always understand, but they kind of just know. Amen? It's only the religious that get up and walk. Next verse. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Let's think about what Paul said right in the beginning. You can take it off the screen. Thank you, guys. God is truly among you. Though I speak in tongues of men and tongues of angels, but have not love, profits me nothing. The purpose of this church, yes, to develop your gifts. Yes, to see God fulfill your destiny. But we have to care and we have to love everyone that walks through those doors. Can you say amen? Amen. Therefore, we endeavor our best to obey that scripture, because it's one of the most clear instruction when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit operating in a church. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Study them all in order, and you will have a look at how he talks to a church that's out of order and tries to get them back in order, and starts this by talking about one thing. Love. Love. I'm going to say it again because it's important. Not for one second will I take away from the gifts that God has given you, because I know he's given many of you beautiful gifts. But if you don't use that gift for the benefit of all, it's not going to help anyone. Just like me, who loves to speak in tongues. Unless when I do it, I give some form of revelation to you or release some knowledge to you, there's no benefit to you for me to speak in tongues. Is that okay? And when I do it, it's normally at night when we have a slightly more... Listen, people who know God come to church at night, man. People who are hungry come to church at night. Amen? So we can step out a little more at night than we can in the morning. I would also like to do things my way. But I think his way is better. And you know what's so beautiful about it is, if you really look at it, because we can represent Paul in so many different ways, but I really believe he was trying so hard to be gentle with the church in Corinth, to show them how much he loved them and embraced what God had given them. But at the same time, teach them that it's not about them. It's about Him, and it's about every soul. He gave His only begotten Son so that whomsoever will call out to Him will be saved. How many of you want to see this city transformed and saved? Amen. Amen. Every Sunday night is different, guys. I also thought I was going to prophesy and lay hands. Amen. But this is what God wanted me to release. Is that okay? So I'm going to close the service. If you need prayer, you can come to the front. Listen, I'm going to really break that scripture down for you and really explain tongues to you in E1. Please come. Don't be afraid to come and hear, because there's so much more that I didn't unlock there that I want to unlock to you. It's a small part of what I'll be teaching in E1, but it's so powerful. It's so profound. Even what I just released to you now, many of you have never been taught that before. Why? It's the Bible. Amen? So come and learn and grow. Is that okay? I'm so thankful for every single one of you. And I know that every single one of you has been given gifts. I taught you this a few weeks ago. And I love it when I see people have these amazing, beautiful gifts. But let's make sure that we use our gifts for the glory of the King. Is that okay? I'm not trying to suppress anyone. I really am not. What I'm trying to get you to do is look at the bigger picture. Is that okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much this evening for your love and for your grace and for your mercy. Father, we thank you for prophecy. We thank you for laying on of hands. We thank you for a move of your Spirit, but we also thank you for your word that has an ability to change our hearts if we receive it, Father. Lord, we do our best to always interpret your scriptures the way that you have desired them to be interpreted. And I pray, Lord, that this evening, the word that has gone forth is from your throne room. And Father, that it would touch every heart in this place, that it would do that that your word desires to do, to edify, to exhort, and to bring comfort, to encourage us to step into everything you have for us. But like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, if we have not love, what does it matter what gifts we have? What does it matter the abilities and the talents and the faith and nothing else matters if it's not driven by love. And so in this place tonight, we thank you. And in this place tonight, we love you. And we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. And Father, I just thank you for every life of every person that is here. And I give you all the glory and the praise and the honor for their lives. And I ask you, Father, that as they leave tonight this place, that you will go with them, that they will just walk with you, that they will know and hear your voice in a deeper way, Father. And I pray, Father, that you will just touch them, even in this week. Strengthen and encourage them. Bless them in every dimension, spirit, soul, and body, financially, their homes. Protect their families, Father. And we just give you all the glory and praise for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.